This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Things are hard enough for individuals who live their lives managing a cross-section of marginalisation, but there are many within our communities that do. When it comes to research data and findings, we can sometimes focus on the one instead of the many. And we can seem behind in meeting the needs of LGBTIQ people who live and manage a cross-section of marginalisation, whether that be linguistic, physical or cultural. Now on Joy, Dina Curry speaks to Margarita Coppolino, who spoke about this intersection at the Health and Difference Conference earlier this month and is helping to raise awareness not only in our communities, but in our health service providers as well.
I come out as a lesbian, and I come out as my cultural background. So there are three closets when it comes to the LGBTIQA community. You know, it could be at any stage, particularly when I'm dating. You reveal those elements of yourself, and sometimes they can influence on how people, not only in the LGBTIQ community, but in general, how they interact to you based on those three, inverted commas, closets. In the queer community, you know, sexuality is normally quite taboo in some cultural or faith-based communities. And that's really quite difficult. So you find that a lot of people don't come out because of that. And then you've got the additional of disability and then probably some additional issues around gender and other diverse backgrounds of yourself, you know, like political beliefs or things like that.
Current president of the Ethnic Disability Alliance, Margarita Coppolino, spoke at the Health and Difference Conference earlier in the month about intersectionalities of CULD, disability and LGBTIQ plus people. CULD stands for culturally and linguistically diverse and is a space within our communities that we need to put more work into, not only identifying and highlighting the needs of these people, but elevating their visibility as well. After this year's Health and Difference Conference, I asked Margarita how she created more understanding and engagement in relation to the intersectionality of the CULD and disabled and LGBTIQ communities.
The whole thing, what I did in the particular workshop that I facilitated, was to get people in the room to realise, you know, what were the common issues, you know, around the CULD issues, getting access to aged care facilities, getting access to postal carers that actually were cultural sensitive, particularly when, you know, you're a person who's identified as LGBTIQA. The increase of bullying that tends to happen with people from the group that we're talking about. So given that they were the main issues that I raised, we're taking the sector, really start working with us when we're not really getting access to health services, or let alone getting access to some of the LGBTIQA services. And I think the other thing that I'm particularly keen to put across is that, look, I know there are best practices already happening, and you know, I think those are PWDA, I think the organisation in New South Wales, in partnership with MineOut, which is part of the National LGBTIQA National Alliance, Maya, they actually run sex education for people with intellectual disabilities from the LGB communities. Now, that was born not just for people with intellectual disabilities, but in some whole. And like there's a services in New South Wales called Touching Base, which is a service of sex workers who work with people with disabilities. In some cases, I know that the sex workers from Touching Base have been hired so that a person with a disability can be experienced if they want to come out, but experience a sexual nature, then that's something that's happened in the past without having to worry about coming out to their family or their community. It's done in a very discreet way because they don't get access to, you know, bars or services because of inaccessibility.
Last year in November, the government released findings in relation to LGBTIQ plus and culled communities in aged care. And while that provides us with greater insight into the needs for those individuals, the intersectionality that we're talking about here is something much broader and easier to start working towards than you may think.
Just not only the LGBTIQA and health sector responsibility, it's a much broader responsibility to the culled community as well. All sectors really need to step up and just say, well, okay, the disability sector can deal with that and pass off the responsibility to our populated groups. I think we need to come together as a whole. And having said that, I think from what I got from the conference last week, there were opportunities where discussions were had that I think will come out of that conference, where people were starting to say, well, what can we do as a collective? And instead of doing, you know, just silo thinking around just issues. So one of the things that I was really pleased that Judy came from, who's president for the Australian LGBTIQA Cultural Council, citizens said to her, you know, what could we do in regards to having an online discussion for health services on LGBTIQA culled disabilities. She said, look, we can work with you on that. We'll create something on the website. And that's all it took, you know, just one organisation putting their hand up saying we'll work in partnership. Having said that, I'm finding now more and more people are saying, well, yeah, let's work as a collective. For me, I would like to see the ethnic community, you know, like the Victorian Mutual Council Commission and also the Ethnic Community Council of Victoria actually doing more in the space. I understand that why ethnic issues is what they work with. The intersectionality, I'd like to see them step up and do some more work in that area and work in partnership with the LGBTIQA and sector as well as disability to go forward and come up with some innovative ways to, you know, go forward and make sure that those gaps that were talked about at the conference will no longer become gaps.
After this year's Health in Difference conference, Margarita is excited about the changes that are on the horizon. We have the opportunity now to not only raise awareness and stronger communication about culled, disabled and LGBTIQ people, but to change how we approach everything so that no matter the age, identification or sexuality of an individual who lives their lives every day managing a cross-section of marginalisation, we can truly say we're building towards a more equal future.
Very excited where the sector's going. I must say I'm really pleased that Victorian AIDS Council have now advertised a disability capacity person, and Midsummer have also done the same. And I hope more organisations go down that path. It's so exciting that this is happening. There's much more to be done. And also I feel that you'll see much more leaders stepping up with people with disabilities, taking on chairs, and you'll find much more conversation happening around intersectionality. That's the way we need to go forward, so a person can be seen as talking about the whole self and just, instead of just parts of who they are. People with disabilities are sexual agents, do have relationships. Of course they do. Get your head around it, folks. Of course we do. Proud and proud. Don't leave us behind.
That was Dina Curry speaking with the current president of the Ethnic Disability Alliance, Margarita Coppolino.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.